Well, this afternoon, we're joined by George Miller. Are you the lead man, George, of the band?
Well, everybody thinks they're the lead man, and that's wonderful with me. When it comes to the business and making the decisions, I suppose I'm the one that gets that honor. They let me do that. They say, we're going to the bar, you go do some business. So I say, okay, thank you.
Well, George is the lead man with the Irish Rovers, who are going to be visiting us here in the Dayton area.
So this is a good way to get ready for wearing the green and not in our case drinking the green, but I know a lot of people like to put green in their beer, and I sort of say, I have to draw the line at that, sorry.
Well, George, right now you're sitting in what sounds like a very snow-locked Vancouver, British Columbia. How are things?
Which is quite unusual, because Vancouver, it's about 100 miles north of Seattle, so it's very similar to whatever Seattle gets, which is normally rain at this time of the year and maybe a bit of freezing at night. But we've had snow now for the last 5 or 6 days, and they predicted 1 inch. Well, they're wrong by about 8, because there's about 9 inches here on the ground. And unfortunately, little Vancouver doesn't have too many snow plows. I think they've got about 2 at the airport and about 1 downtown, and that's about it. So not too many roads are being plowed.
Well, speaking of Vancouver and Canada in general, it wasn't until recently that I realized that you folks, the Irish Rovers, for many years now, have been sort of stationed in Canada. I didn't know that. I was surprised by that. How did that happen?
Well, we actually immigrated from Belfast to Toronto, Canada. That's where we ended up, and that's actually where I met. I was 14 at the time, and the following year I met Jimmy Ferguson, who had just come from Belfast, and that's when him and I started the band in Toronto, just singing around some of the folk clubs. That basically was the beginning of us. So Canada has always been our base. Then about, probably 20 years later, we were doing some work for the Canadian government. We were doing some expos representing Canada. And at the time, the Prime Minister, Mr. Trudeau, said to the fellow that was handling us, who was a big Irish fellow, he says, Patrick, I really quite like the Irish Rovers too, but if they're going to be representing our country, don't you think they should be Canadian citizens? He says, yes, sir, they will be tomorrow. So he took us all downtown Vancouver, and actually my mother and father had just come out, and I says, can I bring my parents? And he said, certainly, bring whoever you want, but be there at noon. So they made us citizens of Canada, and I never have regretted. I'm still Irish, and I still have my Irish passport, and I have my Canadian passport, and yet most of our work is done in the United States. So we're like an international, true international band.
You've traveled around the world a whole lot of times, I would think.
We have, once or twice, yes, at least, and from in New Zealand to Australia and Europe. And the other interesting aspect right now is that two of us live here in Vancouver. I live on Vancouver Island. One of the boys lives in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. One of them lives in Montreal, and the other four live in Ireland. So God knows how we rehearse, but I'm telling you, the telephone companies love us. There's a lot of long-distance phone going on.
Well, I'm sure that's the case. I've got to go back, just hearing your voice and talking to you, I've got to go back to one of my first two Celtic albums I ever bought was The Unicorn. I've still got the LP, of course, and that's a nice wee song,
isn't it?
It's a lovely little song,
and I have to chuckle because as I'm going through Belfast or Dublin Airport, I see all of these Celtic collection type CDs, and this is, and of course, featuring that lovely Irish hit, The Unicorn. And I have to have a wee chuckle because it was written by Shel Silverstein, an American at the time. He was a cartoonist, and he was really a beatnik who made leather sandals, and he wrote obscure little children's poems. And that's where the song came from. He gave us this little poem, and we put some music to it, and lo and behold, it became the hit that it did. But it was it certainly wasn't Irish, but I love the fact that they all think it is. That's okay.
But that certainly was a gift to you and the band, I would think. That's a huge hit to have.
It was the best gift that we ever could have had because, we've been riding the back of that little unicorn for 50 years now, and it's it must be getting awfully sore, I'll tell you. But it's taken us on a lovely wee ride, I'll tell you that.
Would you do me a big favor? Would you say that last line in the song?
And that's why you'll never see a unicorn to this very day.
That makes me so happy. Thank you.
Funny enough that we mentioned that because I'm working on a song right now called The Narwhal, and it's sort of going to be a sequel to the unicorns, because, of course, we all know they didn't die at all in the flood. They were turned into narwhals because God said, look it, these are my favorite creatures. This wasn't supposed to be, so I'm going to change them into creatures that will swim the deep blue sea.
Uh-huh.
So there you are. You're the first to hear that.
We're breaking news right here on the Dear Green Place. That's wonderful.
Absolutely.
I was doing some research on you and the band, of course, as I would. After the unicorn, and you were hot, you were on American television a lot. You played the Mike Douglas Show.
Yes.
And
Pat Boone and Johnny Carson and Merv Griffin. But the gem of them all, we did three episodes of a Western called The Virginian. Now, back in the late 60s, early 70s, it was a very popular Western on TV every week. And we became bank robbers with Travis. We had a great time. We held up a bank. We were in, of course, a pub fight, which is normal. We had the best time. We sang about two songs in every episode. So we did three of those, and it was the best experience and fun we'd ever had. Here's these little boys from Northern Ireland, and here they are in a Western scene fighting in a saloon. It was great. Well, as a matter of fact, at one point they had to say, cut. And it said, okay, Rovers, you're doing a really good job in the fight scene, but you're laughing. You're not supposed to laugh when you're fighting. And we went, oh, but that's how we used to do it. And they said, okay, but be a little bit grimmer, like you're being hit and you're hitting someone. You can't really laugh. So it took us a little while to get used to the ins and outs of Hollywood, but it was an eye-opening experience, and I'll tell you that. It was lots of fun.
And an eye-opening experience, too, I assume. You were on The Dating Game.
Yes,
and you
won it.
Wow!
I know. I can't believe it. I think the one question that got her, it must have been funny because she said, "What was your ambition at the age of 6?" And I said, "I was trying to stop smoking and drinking," and she had a great sense of humor. So I think that's what sort of swayed it for me. Other than that, it was quite forgettable, as far as I can tell. I haven't seen it in 150 years, so, and I don't particularly ever want to see it again. But it was fun at the time, and then. We became a very good friend with Chuck. Is it Chuck Harris? Chuck Harris, his name was.
I don't remember.
He was the one that ran the show, so he liked it so much he made Jimmy, who was sort of our rotund lead singer at the time. They made him. They did it the opposite way. They had him ask the questions of these three beautiful starlets, like Amazonian starlets. And here was Jimmy at 5'7", arm in arm with this 6'2" beauty. It was quite amazing. It was quite funny.
And here you are now, yes. 50 years, yes. Or maybe more than 50 years, down the road.
Probably about 52 by now.
Wow. Breaking my heart. This is your final tour?
Well, it is and it's not, and I'll tell you why. It's an Irish thing. It's a final tour, but it started about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and it doesn't seem to be ending anytime soon. They're already getting dates for 2018 and 2019, and I'm saying, well, I thought we were retiring. So we are, in a way. We're only going to do the one tour this year. We do our 6 weeks of touring, and then we're just going to be recording in May, and I go back to Ireland and do some recording there. So the workload is the tour, and that's the harder part of it. So that's only it's going to get down to one a year, and it's all really part of this farewell tour of the world, because we've played almost everywhere, and it's you can't really say goodbye on a 1 5- or 6-week tour. So last year we did quite a bit of Canada. We did a wee bit of we did Florida and around that area. So now we're concentrating on the Midwest on this tour, a bit of California, then back to Dayton. So it's all sort of jumping all over the place. So we're not actually retiring per se. We're still going to do special things.
So you have a new album that's coming out with this tour, right?
We do. We have a brand new CD and also a brand new DVD to go with it. So I suppose the CD sort of goes with the DVD, and it's just called Live on St. Patrick's Day. And the second part of the, which is really is sort of more interesting to me, the first CD is, or DVD, is a live concert. And then the second DVD is us in Ireland. We rented an old castle last year with all of the wives and girlfriends and weans and everybody. We went back to a place called Lismore Castle outside Cork, and we rented it for a week. So we filmed many of the, not all, but many of the episodes that were going on there, from late night jam sessions, and we got some of the wives playing fiddles and singing and doing an Irish dance, and it's just, you know, it's all the extra things that people like to look at, mistakes and everything else, and us trying to sing a song, and we'd had maybe too much Irish whiskey, and I remember us saying, what are the words to this song? Nobody knows it. So, I mean, little funny things like that. So I think they'll enjoy that part of the Rovers and what we're like off stage. Like I say, not completely, but there's a few hints in there.
Well, you are going to be at the Victoria Theatre in downtown Dayton, and you're going to be here on St. Patrick's Eve. That's going to be a fun night.
It will be fun indeed.
Would you give me a list of all the guys in the band at this moment?
Okay, there's Sean O'Driscoll from Cork, and he plays the banjo. There is Wilsil McDowell. He's one of the originals. He plays the accordion. There is Ian Miller, who is my cousin. He sings and plays the bass and also plays guitar. There's Jeffrey Kelly, who plays the flute. He's actually from Dumfries in Scotland. I don't know how he slipped in there. So that's okay. We put up with one Scotsman. It's all right. We have Jerry O'Connor, who plays the fiddle. He's from Dundalk in the south of Ireland. And who am I missing? We have Fred Graham plays the drums and the bowron and the bones. And one more. Who am I missing? I'm missing Morris Crum. He plays keyboards and sings with us. So that's it. There's like seven of us. There's a herd of us, and it's... We make a big sound, and I think more important than anything else is the fact that we enjoy what we're doing. And if we didn't after all these years, I don't think the people would be coming back to see us. Doesn't matter if one of you has the flu or the cold or your back is sore, you've been driving for 4 hours, you forget all of that. When you hit that stage and the lights and the audience are there and you know that they've all paid very good money to come and see you, you better put on a good show.
That's right.
And we always come out after the show and sign autographs. It's something we've always done since we began, and that people have always liked it, and they get a chance to talk to us and get a piece of paper signed or whatever.
Well, you've had that. We talked before about the big hit with the unicorn, but you've had another big, mm-hmm. huge hit with the Drunken Sailor. How did that one happen?
Well, it's one of those songs that we probably were singing that song 40, 50 years ago. It's a great ending song to any night. You get half the audience singing Way Hey, and the other half can sing And Up She Rises, and everybody knows the song. It's not such a hard song to learn, and it's about 300 years old. So all of a sudden, for some reason, it started taking off on the internet, and I think the last count is up to like 12 or 14 million people are watching this song, and it's just a video with the words. It's not even us, like, live in concert, although I believe there is one going out with us doing it live. You know, it's you sit down and you try and write a great song, and yet one of the best songs on the stage is Way Hey and Up She Rises, Early in the Morning. So you don't know. You just don't know when you're writing what's going to be popular and what's not. So you go with the ones the audience likes, and that's what we do.
I bet. I imagine you'll be doing that one as well. A Thursday night, the 16th yes. of March, St. Patrick's Eve, we'll be seeing the Irish Rovers at the Victoria Theatre in downtown mm-hmm. Dayton. George, it's been too much fun talking to you.
Well, thank you so much for your time, too. I appreciate that. Okay, my dear. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.